You know what we have to talk about. The T word. From Virginia Farm Bureau, this is Cattle Pulse. It's April 2025, and I'm Elijah Griles in Richmond, Virginia. Welcome back to Cattle Pulse. We really appreciate you joining us again. We are going to be looking at the macroeconomic picture today, specifically tariffs. Also, what the sudden drop of cattle placements has to tell us in the February Cattle on Feed report, and on the brighter side, how setting record calf prices has become routine. Let's take a look at our national feeder cattle futures contracts. The April contract is at $282.80 a hundredweight, which is up 2% from a month ago. The May contract is at $275.30 a hundredweight, which is down 0.8% from a month ago. The August contract is at $279.90 a hundredweight, up 0.1% from a month ago. When we look at the macroeconomic picture, we can't help but talk about tariffs. Our feeder cattle futures contract took a steep dive when the Trump administration announced the latest round of tariffs and reciprocal tariffs that would be going on across all different types of countries and different types of products throughout the world. And then they announced that it would be paused, that those reciprocal tariffs would be paused, that is. And that has really helped feeder cattle futures to rally. So we're in a very volatile market. We'll talk a little bit about risk management later, but really it all comes back to the T word. So first, what is a tariff? A tariff is a tax that is paid when a good is imported into the US. Now, all of the Trump administration's tariffs have been focused on goods. April 10th, 2025, we have a 10% baseline tariff on nearly all imports, along with 25% on imported vehicles and 25% on all steel and aluminum imports, as well as a 125% tariff on all Chinese imported goods. Now, very important, as of April 10th, reciprocal tariffs on all countries have been paused for 90 days. And this is really what has helped kind of provide a little bit of relief in the stock markets as well as in the commodity markets, helping investors get a little more comfortable that maybe this is truly a negotiation tool and they aren't actually going to go into effect. So those tariffs have been paused for 90 days. As we think about Virginia cow-calf producers, there are some important goods that are exempt. Veterinary vaccines, some pesticide ingredients and fertilizers containing potash, peat, lubricating oils, greases and other energy products are all exempted, as well as USMCA compliant goods. So that's the United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement, which is a trade policy here in North America. And maybe most important for the Virginia cow-calf industry is the fact that beef as well as live cattle are exempted under that agreement. So that means that the significant number of Virginia feeder cattle that go into Ontario, Canada to be fed, as well as the significant number of fat cattle coming out of Canada that come down to meat packers in Pennsylvania to be processed are exempt and are not currently impacted by these tariffs. And that is thanks to the great work of Virginia Farm Bureau, the American Farm Bureau, and the Virginia Cattlemen's Association, National Cattlemen's Beef Association. So all of those partners have worked together to maintain the exempt status that live cattle and beef has, which has really protected Virginia cow-calf producers, a lot of whom rely on export markets for their feeder cattle. That said, despite that good exemption, what tariffs ultimately mean is higher prices for all Americans. This includes Virginia cattle producers. Whether it's steel for your tractor or a new baler, a new rake tooth, or just coffee for the percolator, all of this is going to result in higher prices for Americans. The Tax Foundation estimates that tariffs will result in an average increase of $1,900 in taxes for every U.S. household annually, which is the largest increase in 43 years. This is, of course, if negotiations drag on and some type of agreement and relief are not reached quickly. There could be positives to tariffs, like U.S. beef gaining access to new markets abroad because of negotiations with those countries, but that remains to be seen, and right now, the real focus is that unless these are resolved or completely removed quickly, there will be higher cost. Let's look at our cattle on feed report. There were 11.6 million cattle on feed on March 1st of 2025. This is down 2% from last year, and that's moving our total supplies more in line with what we would expect from the national inventory picture. In the near term, though, there are plenty of fed cattle to continue to meet that beef demand. That being said, placements in February of 2025 were 18% lower than a year ago. We'll get data in the next report about the share of heifers on feed, which will give us an idea as to whether the lower placements in February actually means that herd expansion is firing up. So we're looking for those mid to low 30 percentile of heifers on feed to really determine whether or not we are actually seeing producers retain heifers and start to expand their herds. One headwind there is that prices are so high for calves right now, there's not a lot of incentive to keep a heifer that you're gonna have to wait two and a half years to get a marketable animal from. So that is just a headwind that's going to slow expansion as we look into the future. Looking at the big picture, I ultimately wanna say this. There's been a lot that's been upended in the futures market as well as the financial markets over the past month. And the huge drop in feeder cattle futures last week and then the rally this week is a reminder of how quickly things can change. If we can predict one thing about this administration's tariffs, regardless of whether the tariffs are active, pending, paused, it is that they are increasing economic uncertainty. For beef producers, that could mean consumers buying less beef. Beef demand has been incredibly resilient over the past several years, which has led to record high beef prices in the store, as well as record high calf prices in the stockyard. But if tariffs trigger a recession, that resilience is going to be greatly challenged. Now, grilling season is coming though, and USDA does anticipate that beef demand will mostly hold steady this year at 58.9 pounds per capita, which is down just 0.2 pounds from last year. And given that we're already seeing similar record high level prices for beef in the grocery store at the retail level, it's really gonna be a matter of time to see what happens as far as beef demand goes throughout the rest of the year. Let's take a look at our weather and climate outlook. The drought monitor shows that 2% of the state is in severe drought, focused in Loudoun and Fairfax County, and 14% is in moderate drought in Northern Virginia and the Northern Neck. 50% of the state is abnormally dry in the western parts of the Piedmont and South Side in the mountains, as well as over on the Eastern Shore, and the remaining 35% of the state is normal in Central and Eastern Virginia. The NOAA Climate Prediction Center's outlook for April shows that the southern half of the state has a 33 to 40% chance of above normal temperatures, while the northern half has equal chances of above or below normal temperatures. Equal chances of above or below normal precipitation are expected in April for all of the state except for the far southwestern tip, which has a 33 to 40% chance of above normal precipitation. Let's take a look at our average monthly prices for those five-weight steers grading medium and large number one. Abingdon Tri-State brought $330.70 a hundredweight, which is up 7.9% from a month ago. Blackstone brought $320.08 a hundredweight, which is up 5.4% from a month ago. Lynchburg brought $332.88 a hundredweight, which is up 7.4% from a month ago. Radiant brought $325.01 a hundredweight, which is up 2.6% from a month ago. Shenandoah Valley brought $318.50 a hundredweight, which is up 6.8% from a month ago. Winchester brought $336.59 a hundredweight, which is up 5.4% from a month ago. This gives us a record-setting six-market average of $327.29 a hundredweight, which is up 5.9% from from a month ago. That's a 12.5% year-over-year change and blows out of the water the record we set back in January of $309.78 a hundredweight. The previous record before this year was $258.34 a hundredweight in June of 2015. Interesting to note, however, is that that price in June of 2015 had the buying power of $346.20 a hundredweight today, April 10th, 2025. So even though we're at $327.29 a hundredweight, which is just huge record-setting prices, we still haven't reached the same threshold in terms of buying power for that same amount of money. The Virginia Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services reports that the state-graded average price across all state-graded markets for five-weight steers, medium, and large one in March is $334.93 a hundredweight, which is also a state and all-time record. So we've seen incredibly strong markets despite all of the turmoil that's going on from the tariff situation in the national economy, as well as the volatility in the feeder cattle futures contracts. And this is an opportunity to remind you about price risk management. Livestock risk protection is a great tool where you can lock in a price and lock in a profit. And the folks at Virginia Farm Bureau Crop Insurance or the Virginia Cattlemen's Insurance Agency would be happy to set you up with a policy to ensure that you do lock in a price. We know that risk is just part of the game, so it's not a matter of if, but when it comes to managing it. That's all the time we have for today on Cattle Pulse. We'll be taking a look at beef on dairy crossbreeding in next month's episode, but thank you for joining us. And as always, please feel free to email me questions or comments at elijah.griles@vafb.com. I'd love to hear from you. Until next time, have a great month.